Welcome to the Bible study. We're going to continue where we left off. We were through the second part. This will be a third part of a four-part series studying why they were Christians first in Antioch. And I want to show six consistent reasons why I strongly believe that something began there in Syrian Antioch, Antioch of Syria. Since God does not double talk or contradict himself, all of the six reasons should be in agreement. And before we go through and explain each of the six reasons, I just want to list them so we know, you know, as a overall where we're coming from. Firstly, the little flock knew and believed and even preached the gospel of God before enduring their scattering, the scattering reported in Acts 8 and Acts 9. Secondly, we want to look at Jerusalem's sendings, the ones that the apostles, circumcision apostles, sent out with authority. Thirdly, relief, starting with the Antioch Pisidian, I might have a mistake here in my notes. Hold on. Starting with the Syrian assembly. No, that's right. In Acts 11, 27 to 30, the body of Christ churches fed the church of God in Jerusalem. Those that had sold everything laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet to fund the church and the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ for the earthly kingdom in Israel. Okay, that's the third one. The fourth one, in fact, the third one is what we'll be looking at today. But the fourth one, later in Romans 16, verses 25 to 26, where Paul talks about how to establish believers, he used the gospel of God first, Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and then he used the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16. He called that gospel of Christ my gospel, and it was followed in the establishment plan that God gave to Paul. Romans 16, verses 25 to 26, it was followed with preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, though, not according to prophecy. And that would take the remainder of that whole year that's mentioned there in Romans, in Acts 11, that Paul preached to the scattered little flock, or scattered kingdom believers, might be easy to understand. I don't mean that the apostles were necessarily there, but those that believed like the apostles. It would take the remainder of that whole year if Paul taught believers and seekers assembled in Syrian Antioch in their meeting there. That's fourth. Fifthly, Antioch's sendings. We will have studied Israel's sendings. This will be Antioch's sendings. And the term Christian is an honorable term, is the sixth reason. So those six reasons show why the Syrian Antioch assembly meeting with Paul became well-known brethren, identified as Christians, Christ's ones. A remnant of Israel's disciples that had elected to receive God's grace during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ that leads into the body of Christ. We're going to look at relief today. That's the third of those six reasons. Studying, we find that in the Syrian assembly, Syrian Antioch, and I should just say Antioch assembly. We're not talking about Antioch of Pisidia here. We're talking about Antioch of Syria. And starting with that assembly in Acts 11, verse 27 through 30, the last four verses there, the body of Christ churches fed the church of God in Jerusalem. There's a... Oh, welcome to the room, Lori. We need to look at Acts 20:28. I don't think I put that in the list. But Acts 20:28, in that verse, the Holy Ghost gave them their job description. He hath made them overseers to feed the church of God, overseeing the funds to buy their food. Look at the verse. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Now these are the elders, verse 17, Acts 27, verse 17, elders that he had called down from Ephesus to meet him at Miletus and have a meeting there. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The elders are the overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I can't pass that up without mentioning it at least. Who died on the cross? That was Jesus Christ. The church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ is God. So, they were overseers to feed the church of God. And that means overseeing the funds, collecting, transporting the funds to Jerusalem, presenting it to the elders, the apostles there. In Acts 11:26, we see the first time that believers in Paul's gospel are called Christians. It's 11:26. 11:29, Acts 11:29, we see the Syrian Antioch church was first to help the destitute Jerusalem saints who had sold all their possessions as the Lord and the 12 had preached for them to do to bring in the kingdom out of heaven. Later, Paul charged the... Excuse me a minute. This is jumping around here. Paul charged the body of Christ churches, and you can see it. We're going to look through his epistles at all the times that many of the times that he did this. He charged the body of Christ churches in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to send relief to the Jerusalem Church of God. That was before the gospel, the dispensation of the grace of God. Both dispensations lead into the body of Christ. It's not that they're opposing or anything, but during the dispensation of the gospel of Christ, they did send money to Jerusalem until it died out through attrition, the Jerusalem church. Remember that Paul had prepared for that relief by ordaining them elders in every church in Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The Lord was caring for the needy flock in Jerusalem, Acts 20:28. By means, the way he did it was calling the body of Christ churches to share in the need of the kingdom churches throughout Judea in the Acts epistles. This was strictly an Acts accommodation or an Acts event, not so much in the prison epistles. It was over with by then, because Israel had been cast away by then at the end of Acts. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, some people, when you're trying to explain right division to them, they say, see, we're a flock. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. You're the flock. No, you're not the flock. We need to understand Christ only and God in the prophecies only used the flock, the sheep, lambs, as Israel. And so here he's talking about Israel. He's not saying us. He's saying all the flock was that starving Jerusalem church. I cannot see any scripture from Luke or Paul or anyone else showing that Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, is anything other than begin the start of the policy of Paul's Body of Christ churches supplying the need of the Jerusalem Church of God, the need to eat. They needed food money. Well, here's a list of the Body of Christ churches that sent relief to the Church of God in Jerusalem, starting from the last. We're going to work backwards from the latest, the final church that sent relief, and going backward to the first church to send relief. So this is aid or relief to the churches. 11 events we're going to see. 11 times this happened. So it's a well-established policy in the Acts epistles, in the dispensation of the gospel, for them to send money, and it's not only sending money, there's picking the people to be elders to send to accompany or to transport the money. There's all these different kinds of things that have to be involved with it. Titus chapter 1 verses 5 and 7. Titus chapter 1 verses 5 and 7. Set in order the things that are wanting. Well, that refers back to 2 Corinthians 9:12, and ordain elders as the steward of God. It says, "Hold on, I didn't put that in the list. Let me just see what the actual reading of it says. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 3, chapter 3, 16. That's quite a few verses. We're not going to go through all those right now for time's sake. But he mentions that giving these funds to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church, is a good work. It says, take care of the church of God, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The house of God, which one? The church of God. Okay, the house of God is an inclusive statement. We're referred to as the household of God, too. I think it's Ephesians 2:19, if I remember right. But Israel, so which one? He goes on to say in that section, I don't have the exact verse, but he says, take how thou oughtest to behave. I think that's 1 Timothy 3:15, isn't it? How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church, the house of God, which is the church of God. Doesn't mean it's only the church of God, but the only one that Timothy was going to with the funds was the church of God in Jerusalem, the Jewish Israelites. We come down to the third event, Acts 20, verse 17, that it's the elders that are being instructed, and then verse 28, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So elders are overseers. To feed the church of God. Not overseers over the whole assembly. It doesn't say that. Never says that in the scriptures. The elders are overseers to feed the church of God. And that's not spiritual food that it's talking about. It's this whole policy throughout these epistles to send food money to prevent starvation to the destitute kingdom believers in Jerusalem, the Church of God. He says, so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Well, he's talked about the weak often in 1 Corinthians when the two types of believers were mixed together for a while when they came out of the synagogue, because they've all believed, both those that were being called into Israel's, well, like the little flock, believers that Jesus was the Messiah, but they had been called into the kingdom. But they never believed before that Jesus... They were in apostate Israel is what it was. And they finally believed that Jesus was the Messiah when Paul came and preached the gospel of God to them. That Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So that's one part of the mixed group that came out of the synagogues. The other part would be those that heard that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And then they were being called by God through Paul's gospel that he would later preach to them. When they heard it and believed it, they were part of the body of Christ in that mixed group. For a while, it was mixed until somebody came in from Peter's group and started teaching them. That may have been what Peter's ministry was, why Paul was not allowed to go up north into, Bithynia, I think it was, Bithynia. Let's go on. The next of the 11, Romans 15, verses 25 through 27. Romans 15, verses 25 to 27. Now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Very clear. Minister unto the saints a certain contribution for the poor saints. Their debtors they are, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, food. So, and look at back three chapters, Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. It's mentioned throughout Paul's Acts epistles and Acts. This is the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. There we go. We'll just look at that and then go on to 9:1, verse 10, verse 12, and 13. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So Paul's pushing that the body of Christ churches take it on themselves to feed, take it as a ministry, not something they're just ordered to do, but something they are participators in. Verse 12 and then 10, what do I have here? 10 and 13. 10, 12, and 13. 10, 12, and 13. You got them there. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 12. For the administration of this service is not only supplieth the want of the saints, and that's a term used several times, the want, things that are wanting, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution. So those that believe the gospel of Christ, the saved people, distributing unto them and unto all men. So another incident of them giving to the church there in Jerusalem. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And then we'll go 13 to 18, but for now, 1 through 4. I have given order, so do ye. Bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Submit yourselves unto such. So, it's pretty strong there, isn't it? It's like an order. Well, I have given order. It is an order. So they were, the body of Christ churches early on, before Paul was sent to all people, those body of Christ churches were contributing to the church of God in Jerusalem that was starving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Simple statement, support the weak. Oh, yeah, when I was talking about the two groups in the mixed group that came out of the synagogues that Paul ministered to the gospel of God to, the body of Christ people had liberty to go and eat food offered to idols, etc., different things like that. But Paul said, respect the weak, the other ones in that group, those that had been called into the kingdom but never believed that Jesus was the Messiah until Paul came and preached the gospel of God. Not the gospel of the kingdom, he never preached that, but the gospel of God. They had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That fulfilled the qualifications to be just like the little flock in Jerusalem. Not the apostles, but those that the apostles ministered to. Galatians 2, verses 9 through 10. Actually, 10. We're familiar with the ninth verse. Let me... and when James, Cephas, and John, circumcision apostles, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas... That's in the body of Christ, me, Paul was anyway, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, only they would that we should remember the poor. Well, I never really connected that before I did this study. That's a reference to the poor in Jerusalem that they'd been talking about throughout all these other places, the 11 in the list here of mentions of feeding the flock in Jerusalem. So he says, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So Paul was in favor of it and pushing for it, and so were the circumcision apostles were partners in that. A couple more here. Acts 14, verses 21 to 23. That's where they ordained them elders in preparation for this distributing of the body of Christ's money that was sent to Jerusalem to feed the poor saints in Jerusalem. Overseers of the Church of God food funds. Lastly, let's go to the first place that donated in Acts 11, 27 to 30. And then a single verse in Acts 12:25 related to the same event. The body of Christ's first corporate action, determined to send relief, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. giving the money to the church in Jerusalem. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according, that would be the believers in the scattered Jewish Israel covenant believers, the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So that's the first time that was done. And all the other times, including this, I believe, it was done by the church of the body of Christ, the church which is the body of Christ, for the church of God in Jerusalem. Well, that's third in the list of reasons why I believe that the Christians were body of Christ people, and are. Let's go to the fourth reason. After Barnabas brought Saul to Syrian Antioch, so he had gone to seek Saul, remember, and he brought him back. Something, somewhere there in the text, must give a clue as to what caused the change in those disciples in Syrian Antioch. Well, in the light of Galatians 2:18, I think we can rule out... I can't believe that Paul ever again preached for anyone to start believing the circumcision gospel. It just was. Look at Galatians 2:18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And we can look in Galatians 1, I think it's verse 13, he destroyed the church of God. Moreover, there was more that had to happen in Syria and Antioch than what Luke reported in his Acts history. Just because Luke didn't report it doesn't mean something didn't happen. I mean, no one was called Christians before whatever happened there, and afterwards they were. In Acts 12, verses 1 and 2, Herod killed Israel's apostle James. Think back to Acts chapter 1 to expand on the process. What was needed before Israel fell? Before Israel fell, when someone was killed, they chose a replacement. They chose, like for Judas Iscariot, in order to maintain 12 apostles for Israel during the kingdom offer. Well, after the fall of Israel in Acts 7, you have in Acts 12, Herod killing Israel's apostle James. So here in Acts 12, after Israel had fallen in Acts 7, the little flock did not replace their killed fellow apostle to keep Israel's apostles numbering 12. That's another proof that Israel had fallen between Acts 1 and Acts 12. Acts 1 being when they did replace Matthias for Judas, and Acts 12 being when they did not replace for Herod killing Apostle James. And that confirms Acts 7's fall of Israel, that was when Israel fell. So after Israel's fall, what did Paul preach for that whole year, 52 Sabbaths, in Syrian Antioch, Acts 11:26, that caused them to change It caused the change in them for the disciples to be called Christians. Well, what caused that? Acts 11:26, and when they found him, Barnabas found Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Connected there, isn't it? In the same verse. A different sentence, but same verse. Continuous. I was going to say consecutive, but continuous is more accurate. The Bible tells what happened between when Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek for Paul, for to seek Paul, I think it says. It tells what happened between then and when the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Bible says that what happened during that time was that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Well, what was different about Saul's teaching after the Holy Ghost sent Barnabas to Saul to bring Saul back to Antioch of Syria? Well, I can't believe that Saul preached only the gospel of God for a whole year to those gospel of God preachers that had fled Jerusalem and scattered. They were preaching the gospel of God, it says in the Bible. So, in that Syrian Antioch meeting, there were preachers of the gospel of God. And Barnabas went and got Paul. We know that his manner was, well, Luke didn't say it in that passage, but later Paul gave us information about it. Years later, by Acts chapter 17, verses 2 through 4 in Thessalonica, Paul had developed his manner, his mode of operation, that he would go to a town and find where the Jews met for their Sabbath meeting, and for three Sabbaths, Sabbath meetings, he would preach to them the gospel of God about Jesus being the risen Messiah. And then he would meet, verse 4 says consort, or verse 17 says he met with, different phrases there, but it happened over and over. He met with those who believed the gospel of God. And then he preached to them the gospel of Christ. Gospel of God being Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, concerning his son Jesus, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he's not only the Son of God, not only resurrected, but he's of the seed of David, the kingly line, lineage. And it says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Christ is the word Messiah. He's called the Messiah. Later, Paul explicitly told how he established those who had believed the gospel of God, establishing them first with the gospel of Christ, that he called my gospel in Romans 16:25. First was the gospel of Christ, followed by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the revealed secret, which would take at least the 49 weeks remaining of that whole year that Paul taught. Being assembled together in the Assyrian Antioch Assyrian meeting. So it says he taught for a whole year. If he started with 3 weeks preaching the gospel of God, that left 49 weeks after having preached the gospel of God, Well, as Paul's manner developed, he would preach the gospel of God for three Sabbaths and then preach the gospel of Christ to those who believed the gospel of God. So in Antioch, after Paul preached the gospel of God for 3 weeks, he still had 49 weeks left for Paul to preach the gospel of Christ to the, you know, to those gospel of God believers in Antioch who were already preachers of the gospel of God. Let these next two verses show us what Paul's attitude, what was Paul's attitude, having received Christ's commission. Romans 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they," Israel, "might be saved." And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33. "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." So his goal is to save, to please all men, to save all men in that verse, and for Israel to be saved in Romans 10:1. For a gospel of God believer to be saved, he must hear and believe the gospel of salvation, either the gospel of Christ or the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians being written in Acts 19 did not change Paul's Acts 13, verse 4, sending. Remember, there were five prophets and teachers in chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord said to separate unto him Paul and Barnabas for the work that he had for him. The prophesied work in Habakkuk 1:5, I think it is. So Christ did not widen Paul's sending to include all men until at least Acts 20, verse 6. But earlier, in Acts 18, Christ did reveal to Paul that in the future he would widen his sending, the sending of Paul, to all men. And here in the next verse that we're going to read, we see Paul's teaching on how that establishing will take place in the life of the believer after they hear and believe the gospel of God. Chapter 16, verse 25 in Romans, it says, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel," that's the first thing, get saved, get the gospel of salvation, "according to my gospel, and," then next, "preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." My gospel is the gospel of salvation, that they may be saved. And that's part of God's will, isn't it? We'll get to that in a minute. Paul said that the establishing of a gospel of God believer, getting him established, in other words, starts with him hearing and believing the gospel of salvation. That's the first thing mentioned, my gospel. After Paul preached what he called my gospel, he would begin preaching the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It's not in the Old Testament. Had to be confirmed with signs. And see how the next verse echoes that after the Acts period, we can see that truth continues. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved," that's the my gospel part, "and to come to the knowledge of the truth," and that's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, knowledge of the truth. So when Paul teaches about the establishing of the gospel of God believers, it always starts with being saved by believing Paul's gospel of Christ, crucified for our sins. And then it goes on with coming to the knowledge of the truth by receiving the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay, so that's the fourth reason. Fifth reason, look at the sendings that come out of Antioch. Antioch's sendings. We see that in Acts 13, and we'll start with verses 1 to 4. Paul and Barnabas were sent out together by two simultaneous sendings. And that solves a problem in Acts 14, I think it is, 26. But they were sent in two consecutive, simultaneous, parallel sendings in a dispensing of the gospel of Christ, which was, it also fulfilled for Israel some of their prophecies about the Lord working a work in your days among the heathen, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth and cut it short in righteousness. Scriptures from Acts 13:41 and Romans 9:28. We're going to look next at Acts 14:26, but they were sent out both by the prophets and teachers at Antioch, Syrian Antioch, and also being sent in the next verse by the Holy Ghost. Regarding the prophets and teachers sending out Paul and Barnabas and Saul, Acts 14:26 says that in Acts 13:3, Barnabas and Saul were recommended to the grace of God from the Antioch church, the prophets and teachers in the Antioch church. And look what Acts 14:26 says, though. And thence sailed to Antioch, where from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they've got an ending of a commission there in Acts 14:26. Also, that verse says they fulfilled what they were sent out to do. Sometimes by finding what they did, we can find out what they were sent to do. In Acts 13, they shortly after their sending, they were in Antioch of Pisidia, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. First. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now it doesn't say they'll receive it, the Gentiles will receive it, and it doesn't say we are now sent to the Gentiles. You know, this is the first of three times that he mentions something like, we turn to the Gentiles. What Gentiles did he turn to? They're mentioned in verse 26, Acts 13:26. There were the Jews and the Greeks. The Jews, they're not mentioned as Greeks, but the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles that came to the synagogue to bless Israel, according to Genesis 12:3. Going on with these last two verses before we close for today, Acts 13:47, the next verse, next two verses say, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And we'll stop there and try to finish it tomorrow then.